After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Good morning. Nice of you to finally show up. Anthony, Craig, Rive.
Morning, boys.
Only 37 minutes late, Thomas. How much of a fine would that have been?
Oh, God. Well, I don't know. 2 minutes cost me $2,500 back in the day, I think it was.
Were you 2 minutes late one day?
Yeah, it went off salary, though, Van.
Everything's salary.
Yeah, I don't know, but I wasn't making any salary back then. That was my second year, I think.
Were you late?
Well, I was on the plane, and we're going to Montreal, and all of a sudden, I don't know, you know, one of the boys always goes, everyone got their passport, and sheer panic hit my freaking face and my body. I'm like, God damn it, I left it on the counter. So, you know, and this is like 15 minutes to go until we take off. So, you know, I run out, I call Ashley, I'm like, run my passport out, you know, the airport wasn't too far away. Yeah. Raced home, raced back, and 2 minutes late, and Lindy just sat in the front. He goes, oh, did you get it? I'm like, yep, sorry. Got it, whatever. And he goes, yep, that's a costly 2 minutes. And I think it ended up, I think he ended up finding me like $2,500.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So
I forgot that one. Where were you living at the time? Were you still in the townhouse in
Williamsville? I think I was in the townhome, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I couldn't imagine just the sheer panic of...
How much money do you think you spent over your career on fines just for, like, anything? Like, when you actually think back to how long you played, I bet you it's pretty significant.
Well, I think that was my only really fine ever. After that, it was all, you know, money on the board, so...
I guess that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not necessarily fine, but money on the board, you know, right from when you were... Like a young whippersnapper.
First game to last game?
Right.
Thomas, what's the most money you've ever had up on the board in one game? Had up. Maybe you lost the game and you had to pay it, but had up.
I don't know. I think it was a good amount. I think it was the first game after I signed the offer sheet and we went to Edmonton. I think that's the largest.
What did you put up?
Well, you were there. I don't know.
I don't remember. 10 grand?
I think it was that, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my.
And I think Stafford had like a hat trick within the first 5 minutes. So I'm like, shit, I'm paying this one.
That's hilarious. I forgot that you put money up the year you signed the offer sheet in Edmonton. So what happened? So we're sitting around the room and some asshole yells, or did you know to do it? Some asshole yells, hey, Van.
No, I put it up. I knew, you know, this at that time, even though I was a rookie in Lindy's eyes, I didn't feel like a full-out rookie anymore. So I kind of knew the drill and what to do. So, yeah, whatever. But, yeah, back to Riv's, your original question. I don't know. I'm sure it was a decent amount.
So it would have been 07, 08, right?
I don't know the year.
Yeah, because it's not 06, 07.
Move on.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Like, do your job. You tell everybody that you run the show, and now all of a sudden we're sitting here waiting for you. Let's go. We've got lots of stuff to talk about today.
What do we have to talk about, Craig?
I don't know. Whatever you have written down.
You're 30. Well, do you want to know the only thing that I have written down? Because, I mean, do we really want to talk about Ovi again? I did say if Ovi gets 30, the Caps will make the playoffs. I don't know if that's going to happen. I know Thomas is obsessed with the playoff race and how tight it is, especially in the Eastern Conference. The fucking wheels on the bus came falling off in Philadelphia. And when Paul Hamilton asked Don Granato to answer a fucking question about how are you feeling about not making the playoffs? And he said, let's focus on tonight's game when tonight's game officially means nothing. I want a goddamn answer.
But don't you think he's going to be answering those questions for
there's your out.
Long time after?
Yeah, well.
I don't
he will be. He will be. At the same time, but But I'm with Petey too. I don't think it would have taken much for, you know, coach to say, fucking sucks. It sucks again. But you know what? We'll have those discussion in 10 days. Just to kind of acknowledge it. That's the only thing I would say.
Yeah, the boys are hurting in the locker room. You know, we had higher expectations.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to look back on some games and we're going to say, yeah, this one cost us, that one cost us. But for right now, you know, we had a game tonight. And this is how I thought we played. Acknowledge it. Don't pretend like it doesn't exist. Acknowledge it. Face it. And that's it. That's all I wanted.
It is crazy to think about that it's been that many years. Like, that's hard to do if you really think about it. Like, in our league, or I shouldn't say our league, in the NHL, half the teams make it. Like, sometimes you just, like, you stumble in by accident, don't you?
Yeah. Like as in, like, your entire team has career years, like we did last year, like almost the entire team, and we still missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's like, what does this team have to do? Because, like, I mean, man, watching the Dallas game last night, God, did they look good in some shifts.
Mm-hmm.
They looked unbelievable. They were buzzing. I'm like, oh my God, how is this team not a playoff team? And then all of a sudden you have Jason Robertson skate from one side of the ice going towards the front of the net, sticks out his bloody stick, which there's a defenseman that threw a missile on net, which missed the net by 3 feet, and Robertson tips it into the net. Did you see that goal? I'm like, come on. Like, how are you scoring that goal? And then it's like, I don't know, maybe because they just have really good players that have insane hand-eye coordination. But I'm like, come on, really? You could do that 100 times and not bat that out of the air, or tip that out of the air into the net. That's, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's my one thought from last night. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend I watched a whole game, because I wasn't. I was kind of, you know, watching a little bit of Detroit, Washington. Then I went back to the Golf Channel, watched my Masters because I love the Masters. Then all of a sudden, you know, went back to the Sabres game. But the little, I mean, there was times I watched 5, 6, 7 minutes and the Sabres were not dominating, but
they're buzzing.
They were playing better, or with the Dallas Stars, who in my opinion is a top three team in the NHL. They did not look out of place.
Hottest team in the league right now, I think.
Yeah. I mean, how can you? I mean, it is. I mean, shift after shift. Oh my God, that was a good play. He's a good player. I mean, you have so many good players. Like, the Buffalo Sabres aren't, you know, I mean, 10 years ago when they were missing teams, sure, they had some good players, but this team is stacked. If you really look, like last night, I'm like, God, this kid's good. This kid's good. Like, that team is, in my opinion, it's loaded.
Yeah, the goaltending is, as much as I don't think, who is it? Ottinger? Ottinger didn't play his best game, but was still very solid. And there's no weakness on their team. Like, no weakness at all. They're big in Dallas. They all skate very well. They have a number of guys that can score goals. They're a physical team. They've mm-hmm. got some nasty to them. Like, I mean, they have the youth in that Wyatt Johnson that scored, what, his 32nd last night? He's 20 years old. They have the insanely high-end youthful hockey players, but they also have inserted the Duchesne and the Jamie Benn and the Sagan. Like, they're and the Pavelski. But they're, I mean, it's just a full rounded team, right? They have their old guys, they have the middle age, and then they have the super young, and they're, and
it's, well, that's what you need, impressive. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing compared to Buffalo where you keep, you know, I saw it on Twitter last night after the game. We're young. We're still young. That's not an excuse, but if it's not an excuse, then stop bringing it up. But at the end of the day, it's not the player's fault that team is young, right? And we've talked about this before. I think to win, you need older guys that have been there, done that. They can settle a team down after a four-game losing streak. But it's all right. It's going to come again. Our bounces will come. We you know, and just kind of accountability and all this. And the Dallas Stars, to me, are they're the perfect mix. They got old guys who have been there, done that. They got young guys who are outstanding players. I mean, if you look at the Stars, the last 5 years of what they've drafted, it's insane. I mean, that scouting staff should get a lot of credit.
Very much.
That's a lot of homegrown talent that's shining right now.
Yeah, they have a lot of. They said on the TV last night that they have a lot of their first rounders that are playing in the games, right? Like the Harley who's a young kid. I think he's only 21 years old. He's got 15 goals this year.
He's like a draft pick. Heiskanen's a draft pick. Esa Lindell's a draft pick. You look up front, right? Wyatt Johnson, Hintz.
Yeah, they didn't even mention Delandria, who is another guy that who's a young player. Like all their first rounders are playing in the lineup.
Mm-hmm. And they're all good players. They all turned out. That's insanely tough to do, as you guys know. I mean, to draft a kid at 17, 18, and he turns out to be a player and a real player. And the Dallas Stars have eight of them, nine of them that turned out. I mean, even that the second rounder, that Stankoven, who's playing the last.
That's right.
How many games has he played? 10, 12. I mean, he looks fantastic out there.
Well, he's on their second line.
Yeah. I mean,
and he's
to
what?
Me, they
how
got,
old is he? 20 years old? How old is he?
To me, the Stars, when I watched them, they got four lines, but their first three lines are all number one lines.
Yeah, but they went and they surrounded all these guys, too, with veteran players. I mean, they go out and they grab Matt Duchene.
Yeah.
They get Sam Steele, who's no joke of a player. They also have Pavelski, who's been there for a while, but also brought him in. Mm-hmm. You got Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, Ryan Suter doesn't hurt to have around the team.
Mason Marchment.
And then I was going to say Mason Marchment. Mm-hmm. Like you've got a nice mix of players there, of veteran players, young players, leadership.
Well, that's
guys.
The thing. Like they're older coaching. Guys like Pavelski, Jamie Benn, Seguin, they're all in that 32, 34-year-old range where our old guy on the Buffalo Sabres is Jeff Skinner at 31. And he's our highest paid player. That's our character. That's our older player that our young guys are looking up to. Because Jeff Skinner's played 1,000 games in the National Hockey League. That's what they're looking up to. Where in Dallas, the younger players, guys, I'm even talking about guys like Robertson, who's not an old guy, right? He's 24 years old, but he had the opportunity to be around Joe Pavelski, Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, guys like this. And now you understand why guys like Wyatt Johnson.
He's played for some good coaches.
He's played for some good coaches, yeah. But Wyatt Johnson, that Logan
Stankoven,
who's 21 years old, they are in an environment at a very young age to now are looking up at older players. Guys like Miro Heiskanen, who's 24, who has been in Dallas for a number of years, he had the opportunity to be on the same team as guys like Ryan Suter. So now you have the ability to have high-end players like Ryan Suter, who may not be playing what he was years ago, but he's the one who brought along Miro Heiskanen. Right?
Yeah, they're good. I think they are a legit team. I'm not just saying that because we watched them play last night, but I feel like they could be a legit contender. They have goaltending.
Legit contender, but they could be out in the first round. Because as of right now, they would match up against Vegas, which is insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. Like, hey, your first overall, congratulations. Your prize is the Vegas Golden Knights.
I don't know, but I still like Dallas. I still like Dallas, even
I
though
do too. I know too, Vegas but Golden Knights an absolute grind of it. That's going to go six, seven games.
It's going to depend. For me, it's going to depend on what the roster looks like for Vegas when they start the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't give a shit what happens. We need a Colorado Edmonton conference final. That's what we need. Just saying. I'll leave it at that. So you guys can go on and discuss the scenarios of what has to happen, but that's what I'm looking for in the West.
If there was a final right now, with what you've watched all year long, who would be the most exciting final for you?
Edmonton, Florida.
But why is Edmonton exciting? Because of Draisaitl McDavid?
100%. For me, it is captivating to see a player like McDavid / Draisaitl not have a cup yet. And I want to see them get to that final round where they have an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup, but play against a monster from the East.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I'm with you. I think it would be, for TV purposes, it would be great. I mean, you could even say Edmonton-Toronto, right? An all-Canadian final. But I look at Colorado. I look at, like I said, Dallas. Their depth, and they're just a better team.
But I'm not even talking. I'm not talking actual. Who's the best team?
Yeah,
I'm talking for your fan view excitement. Who would you want to watch? I want to watch Connor McDavid try and win a Stanley Cup. He is the best player to ever,
and I want to watch Matthew Tkachuk play against Connor McDavid and see how he plays against Connor McDavid. That's all I want.
Yeah, but then why wouldn't you want to, if out of the East, then I would rather have, if you're going that route, I'd rather have Toronto. Because to me, Austin Matthews is the best goal scorer I've ever seen. And I'm saying this while Ovi is 40 goals away from breaking the all-time record.
Yeah, like, it's interesting that you say that.
Are you going there, man?
Well, he just passed Ovi's all-time high. Ovi had 65 was his highest. Matthews now at 66.
I hope he gets a 70. It would be freaking awesome to see.
It would be awesome to see.
And how many players in the league have scored 70-plus goals? 10?
Yeah, I think it's 12 or something I saw the other day.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have two guys this year with 100 assists. That's absolutely insane.
Right.
And that's only been done by, what, three other guys before?
Yeah. Bobby Orr, Lemieux, and Gretzky.
Who did it, what, 11 times?
Yeah. Kucherov's got a little work, though, Van. He's got 96 assists right now, and I'm not saying that he's not going to get there, but, I mean, he's got a little work to do.
Four apples in four games? He can do that in his sleep.
Oh, man,
all he has to
do
is be on the ice, and there has to be an open assist. He'll get his name.
Usually took me 50 games to get the four assists, so it's like, man, that seems like a tall task right now.
Yeah, not the way that guy plays.
So, Vanner, how do you see the East shaping up?
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, I've never seen anything like it where five teams literally battle for one spot. And it's like, no, I don't want it. You guys take it. I'd rather go on vacation. Like, not one team has, the only team that's putting together a run who was completely out of it is the Penguins. So at this point, I like their chances. They're playing the best the last few weeks.
Oh, the Islanders are 7-3 in their last 10. You know,
yeah, but
had...
I'm not. To me, I think they got that spot secured.
You think so?
They're not in that wild card race.
No, they're not. But Washington is only 2 points back, and then Pittsburgh's only 3 points back.
I know, but I think the Islanders are playing better. That they're. I got them in that spot. They're not giving up that.
Let's go look at the Islanders' schedule the last four games. Okay, they have Montreal, who just pounded Philly. They have the Rangers. That game's going to be fucking... you want a game to watch? Rangers-Islanders on Saturday the 13th, 12:30 p.m. That is a game to watch.
Ah.
Then they have the Devils.
They just beat them last night.
I know. I know. And then they have Pittsburgh. I mean, they have a tough gauntlet here to finish the season.
This time of the year, it doesn't matter who you play. You just got to win your games.
Man.
All they have to do is win two games. They got to win two games out of those four.
Man, the Islanders could still miss the playoffs completely. If they lose four games, they're done. They lose three games, they're done.
And you're going to tell me Philly's going to go 3-0? Detroit's
going to
go 4-0?
Philly. No, you just need Pittsburgh and Washington to do better than that.
And, I know.
Because you literally have the Islanders, Pittsburgh, and Washington. You could still say Philadelphia battling for that one spot in the Metro Division.
You ask me how it's going to play out, I'm telling you. Washington's
okay,
going to stay there, and Pittsburgh's going to grab wild card two.
I can't believe, I cannot believe. Did you watch? Okay, okay. So did you watch Detroit play Washington the other night?
Yes, it was awesome.
Oh, my God, man. How are you telling me that Washington Capitals are a playoff hockey team?
I looked at them, and then I flipped over to the Sabres game. I'm like, the Buffalo Sabres are a way better team.
10 times. This is okay. Hold on. Give me a second here. Deep breaths. Deep friggin' breaths, man. How is it friggin' possible that the Buffalo Sabres with their lineup are not in the playoffs, and you have Washington Capitals that are in a playoff spot right now? I don't get it.
Pittsburgh plays Detroit tomorrow. That's going to be a massive game. Craig, relax. Washington's not getting in.
They're not.
Oh my God.
I'm with you.
They're not getting in. So what? Just chill the fuck out.
They're in it now.
They're in it
with
now.
Four games to go.
But I even said on the show, I said, if Ovi gets 30, the Caps are going to solidify that Metropolitan Division. And guess what? Everyone around them is still alive, too. So Pittsburgh plays Detroit on Thursday. That game will seal the fate for one of those two teams, I think. Then they have Boston, Nashville, and the Islanders.
Unless it goes into overtime, right?
Yeah, how fitting would that be? But then they have Boston, Nashville, the Islanders. That's how Pittsburgh has to finish their season. That is not a good run.
Who is that?
Pittsburgh. They played Detroit, Boston, Nashville, and the Islanders.
That Islander game might be a playoff game to get into the playoffs.
I think the Islanders will be in by then, but it could be. It would be awesome if it would be.
You liked your time in the island, didn't you?
Loved it.
Which is so weird because, you know, it's like a guy like me who has as many or as few options as possible when it comes to being a free agent. The summer that I became a free agent, I said, oh my God, there are two teams I just hope are not the two teams that and it was the Islanders and New Jersey. And the reason why I didn't say Edmonton, because Edmonton was in Canada, and I just think playing in Canada would have just been cool on any of those teams. So, So I was just like, oh, fuck. And then so Steve calls me one day, and he's like, so I talked to a couple teams today. I was like, yeah, who are the Islanders and Jersey? I was like,
yeah, Petey, how do you think I felt when I got a phone call from Darcy Regier at, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night? I'm like, I just traded you. I'm like, okay. You're going to the New York Islanders. Good luck. See you. I'm like, what? From Buffalo to the New York Islanders? You got to be kidding me. And then once I got there, it's freaking awesome because all we know is that shitty hotel and you walk to the rink and that's all you know. But living there, it was fantastic. The guys on the team, it rejuvenated me.
I'll tell you what, I had some of my best dinners in Long Island. My favorite dinner that I ever had, maybe in the NHL, was that steakhouse in Long Island. It was a white building, and they had all the meats in the window. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah. I don't know what it's called, but no, it was awesome. It was a short time, but I mean, I was only there for 4 months, but
I remember eating at a place on Long Island.
You would have loved it yesterday, Van. He dropped an Erg Clips.
Stop. Okay.
Yes, because the solar.
I'm going to lose my train of thought here, man.
Clips. You went to dinner on Long Island.
I went to dinner in Long Island, and it was at a place where all of the waitresses were all like in their 60s and 70s. It was a very, very old.
It was probably Italian, right?
No, it was not. It was a steakhouse.
Nope. Okay.
Cracker Barrel.
And that, like, the utensils and the plates were like pewter. It was like an old restaurant. I cannot remember the name of this restaurant, but it was one of the best that I've eaten at on the road. It was very different.
Van, do you remember that place we went to in Carolina with the team? It was like a ranch.
Oh, yeah. The barn?
The barn place.
Yeah.
That was one of the best dinners I've ever had, too.
Wasn't that place? Like Angus Barn? Or
Angus Barn.
Something like that. Yeah, see, every once in a while, God, if something
Angus
pops in
Barn.
My head.
Holy shit, yeah.
Yeah, it was really good.
Okay. Anyway, sorry, we sidetracked. So you loved your time on Long Island. You're rooting for Long Island big time.
I do because I've met Patrick Roy, and I love the fire and this, his coaching, his interviews, his.
Did you do the interview last night after when Pelech hit Zibanejad? Yeah. Then you had Laviolette say something like that aggressive, dirty hit on Zibanejad. And then the reporter goes to Patrick Waugh and says, Peter Laviolette just said that the hit on Zibanejad was accidental, clean. He goes, he's right. It was accidental. He interrupted him and finished his sentence for him. And then he goes, we could sit here and talk about it for 4 hours, but it was accidental and we move on.
Yeah, no, he's great. And I still, you know, there's still actually a lot of the same. Half the team is probably still the same when I was there. So, yeah, I like those guys. It's a good group. And they'll be a tough out because if they make it in, they'll be a tough out, which they are going to make it in because they are older. They are slower. They're structured. They got goaltending.
See that pass Bo Horvat made the guy last night? He missed it, but oh my God, it just went through his feet. Bo Horvat, I didn't realize how good he was till he got to the Islanders. Because again, you know, these guys are all over the West.
What are you talking about? He was shredding the league when he was with Vancouver.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Vancouver. He was his first year really shredding the league.
He's a 200-foot player. He's great at faceoffs, does the little things, he's a lot more gifted than people give him credit for. Barzell is another guy I love watching. Like I said, they got a few guys that can score.
Trivia
question.
They're
going to be a tough out.
Bo Horvat was drafted 9th overall by the Vancouver Canucks. The Vancouver Canucks traded a player to a team for the 9th pick in that draft in which the Vancouver Canucks drafted Bo Horvat. Craig, do you know the answer?
No.
I bet you do, Thomas.
I do.
Yeah.
As a goaltender.
Yes.
Rips.
Same color hair as Brian Campbell. Corey Schneider.
Corey Schneider. There you go.
New Jersey Devils.
All right. Yeah.
So quickly, before I ask you about the 9th pick for Kadri, should the Sabres do something like that, I'm going to ask you this. Did you think the Pelech hit on Zibanejad kind of blindsided him a little bit?
I think Zibanejad saw him, like you said. But I don't think he was going to hit him. I think Pelech definitely saw Zibanejad, and he made it look accidental.
He did a great job making that look accidental.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, because I watched that
every other player would
times.
Do that same thing in the league. I've done that a million times.
Absolutely. That Zibanejad's got to be ready for that. I mean, if you're going to, like, there's no player in the world that isn't going to fucking do that, because there's no referee watching that.
Well, there's a few players in the world that would do that. And sorry, a few of them you guys watch a lot. I'm not going to name any names. But I used to do that all the time, especially on the power play.
Oh, my God. Is that a backhanded slap right there?
But I would do this all the time on the power play. You know, they would drop it to Roizy or whoever coming up with speed. And I was the guy on the far blue line stretching. I would set picks all the time and pretend like I didn't see the guy. It's a good hockey play.
I agree with Vanner, where Pelech knew his positioning on the ice. He knew where Zibanejad was, who was coming to him. He just didn't move out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he lunged or hit him, or he just did not move from his positioning.
Hey, the same thing happened. Sorry, Riz. I think you nailed it. He didn't move. He did it. But the Sidney Crosby Austin Matthews collision a couple days ago.
It's the same thing, right?
Austin Matthews laid on the ice like, oh, what just happened?
Yeah, exactly.
He freaking lowered his freaking shoulder and right in the sternum. And then
he knew exactly what he was doing.
Oh, sorry, we ran into each other. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Oh, well.
Happens all the time. No big deal.
Someone said here, I know the podcast is mostly Buffalo centric, but I have to say Philly pretty much imploded. I don't know if they imploded or they just kind of came back to reality, or everybody elevated their game to the point. Like, I don't know which one it is, but yeah, I guess they imploded because they were in a good spot, but I don't think anybody ever expected them to be there at all. So I think it was just a matter of time for me, in my opinion. I don't know how you guys feel about that, per se, with Philly.
Yeah, implode is the wrong word. I think it's just a flat team that got no goaltending down the stretch, and they just got exposed.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, would they have been able to for 79 games, or call it 70 games? It's impressive, because at the start of the year, we sat here with predictions and we thought they're going to be a lottery pick team.
Before I move on, I got to just say, I heard a hilarious joke yesterday. Driving down the road and saw my ex. It's funny how I'd hit that changes meaning over the years. How else are you supposed to segue into a Salino Law commercial? If you've been hurt in a car crash, hopefully not caused by your ex, you know what to do. Call Salino Law. Call 888-888-8888.
Hey, looking for something to do before or after the Sabres game? Just a few hundred yards away from the KeyBank Center is Buffalo Creek Casino. Stop in at the Sportsbook, place a wager before the game, or even go and grab a steak at the Western Door or a few cocktails at Stick's Sports Bar. And make sure to check out the Sabres pregame specials at SenecaBuffaloCreekCasino.com. Nothing else comes close. Did you want to bring up your trade thought that you sent me?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the same one you guys discussed yesterday?
I wanted to. I don't give a shit what people think. I want Nazem Kadri here. I would love, I don't know if I would trade the 10th or 11th pick or whatever the Sabres are going to finish, 9th, 8th. I don't know if I would go that far, but I'm going to tell you what, Thomas. I'd take Nazem Kadri here in a heartbeat, man. And the other thing I said to Riv today was, do you think Montreal would trade Buffalo Josh Anderson for Jeff Skinner if the Sabres picked up $2.25 million of the salary, and then they're both paying each player $7.25 million or $7.75 million or whatever they're splitting it down the middle?
They both have 3 years left currently on their deal after this season. So it's ultimately Vanner trying to acquire a piece that maybe your team needs more of. Because he hasn't had a good season. Josh Anderson has not had a good season statistically.
He has nine goals. He went a long time without a goal.
Yeah, he struggled. There's no question about that. I would say no, Montreal wouldn't do that.
Montreal wouldn't do that. Okay. What about the Sabres acquiring Kadri?
Not for a first round pick. That would be my. Is he a player that, I mean, you guys mentioned it, that I think he fits in any lineup, right? Any lineup wants a Kadri. So, absolutely.
What would it take to get a player like that? If you're saying no to a first round pick.
I mean, Riff said it yesterday. He's got 5 more years. I mean, look at Sean Monahan. What did he get traded for?
First rounder or something.
First rounder, yeah.
First rounder going which way, though?
I think Winnipeg gave Montreal a first round pick, didn't they?
Yes.
This year. No, I'm talking about Monahan from Calgary to Montreal.
Oh, did Calgary give them a first round pick?
First round pick included.
And what did Calgary get in return? Anything? What'd they get back?
Not much. Because it's a player that they wanted to move on with salary and years left. So I don't, sometimes I don't, if the Calgary Flames want to rebuild and want to get a guy out with a 5-year contract left, it doesn't take a whole lot to, sometimes you get actually something back. It's the same thing you guys mentioned with Skinner, right? Like moving him out.
Yeah, but I don't see Kadri as that. Like Monahan, you know, was hurt. I don't think anyone saw Monahan coming back the way he did and doing what he's doing, right?
Why? He wasn't old. He scored 30 goals multiple times.
Yeah, but
times.
I think he was really hurt. More a lot concerned. Of surgery.
Yeah.
It was a lot of injuries, a lot of time on the IR, a lot of uncertainty.
He missed almost a full season.
He might have missed a full season. Like he might have missed a whole calendar year or something, like between games. I can't remember, but I think injury in that was part of it. So I don't know. I see Kadri more as like a team that would acquire him as a major asset. And I'm with you. I think there would be more than one team, but it was tied to Buffalo. And I don't know if it was tied to Buffalo because it was our brilliant idea, my brilliant idea, but it was tied to Buffalo. And like, yeah. I don't think Kevin Adams right now is in a position to say no to, I don't, I mean, he can say no to moves, but he has to listen to everything and he has to come up with it's literally back to the drawing board is what it is. Again,
well, yeah, what do you mean it's back to the drawing board?
Well, with how you're going to surround your young pieces. I mean, you don't
know,
need to.
But I mean, our young pieces that we've been talking about for a long, long time are not young anymore. Like Dylan Cousins is going to be turning 22. He's going to be turning 23.
Then let me, our core pieces, not our young pieces, our core pieces. How's that?
Correct.
How are we going to build around our core pieces that are still young? That's maybe a better word of putting it. So I guess that's what it means, back to the drawing board. Like maybe it's not surrounding them with Yost, Oposo, Gergensens. Maybe it's three other players. And maybe it's not Eric Johnson. Maybe it's Eric Goodbranson. You know, like these types of moves. So just throwing ideas out there. Things, the team has to look significantly different next year.
No, it doesn't.
Identity-wise, yes.
Okay, but we're not talking significant trades. Like, you have your top 6 forwards. You have your top 4 defense. You have your 2 goaltenders. What you're ultimately looking at doing is altering and changing a few pieces in the bottom 6 and you're basically your third pair defense. That's it. Like, you're getting zero scoring from your third line. You have Peyton Krebs there right now that ultimately is given an opportunity, but he hasn't seized it. You have Jordan Greenway, which we talked about yesterday, which Vanner, you could probably speak more about this, but Jordan Greenway has not scored more than 10 goals in this league. Now, I granted, he's done a very good job in the penalty kill this year. There's games where he has used his body and played very well, but consistently wise producing offense for the team, he has not produced. Jeff Skinner is on the third line. He hasn't had a point in 10 games. He hasn't had 1 point in 10 games. He is a $9 million hockey player.
Yeah, well, we don't need to go down that path. The idea of Kadri, I just like it. I think Cousins, Thompson, Kadri, not in that order. Kadri, Thompson, Cousins, Thompson, Thompson, Cousins, Kadri, Kadri, Cousins. I don't give a shit what your 1-2-3 is or how you roll it out. I just think he gives you something different than we've had at third line center or second line center. Veteran player, Stanley Cup champion.
Well, I think plays
with an edge.
The only thing I'm going to add to this is every GM, once you miss the playoffs, you're going to have to reevaluate and be like, does this work? Did it work? What do we need? And Rivs, the only thing I would say to your thing is we don't need much because our top six is set, our top four. Well, if it's set, why something didn't work? Otherwise, you would be in the playoffs. So you have to listen to everything, which I'm sure Kevin will do and does. And then at some point,
I'm just trying to say that we here in Buffalo are not in a panic-stricken environment. We are unhappy that we didn't make the playoffs for the 13th year. We are unhappy that the team is like a yo-yo. One minute they're spanking Toronto and Colorado and Boston. The next minute they're losing to Chicago and Columbus. There's no consistency. And I don't know what that is. Is it coaching? Is it the player personnel? Is it the environment of the lack of grit and aggression in the way that they play? I don't know what it is. That's not for me to say, but as a fan.
Hey, let me ask you this. What was the Sabres' number one issue? Number one. I want one issue that they had. I don't want, I could go either way on this. Just give me your opinion on what their number one issue was this year.
Lack of scoring from your best players.
Thomas?
I haven't watched too much Sabres this year than I have in the past year. I just think they give way too many high danger chances. They lack of scoring, but yes, I don't know what their identity is, right? Like we talked about Washington, that's a flawed team, but they defend. They know how to win games with what they have. Sometimes Buffalo, I think it's just a run and gun game. They trade chances. And if you outscore them, you win. If you don't outscore them, you lose.
I have one answer that I think has cost them their entire season. And I can tease it, save it for the next show, or I can tell you now. It's up to you. If the suspense is going to kill you, Thomas, I'd hate to lose you on the pod, but
there's no suspense.
They did not come ready to play at the start of the drop of the puck for a lot of games, and that single-handedly cost them games because they got so far behind and they couldn't find their way back. And those games alone, just those games alone, if you cut those games into a third and you win a third of them, you are in a playoff spot.
I don't disagree with you, but I hate doing this because it's that's not how the NHL works. You cannot go back and be like, they beat Anaheim twice.
No, I'm not. I'm not doing that. It's not those Anaheim games. It's a lot of other games. It's just even the games that they won, Thomas, they had to come back some nights down two goals because they started so poorly. So and if they don't come back and win those games where they're down 2-0 in the first 7 minutes, then guess what? Like there was a game this year, they were down by 3. They had to claw back and win, and they got it done. But it's just like it was the way they started games.
Who do you blame for that then?
Exactly. Who's that on?
Coaching? I'm sorry. Coaching. That's on coaching.
I would disagree.
Okay.
That's not. I don't know.
I really do believe it's on both. You can sit there and point a finger at Don Granato all you want, but he doesn't don the goddamn skates, man.
No.
Like how are these guys How are these guys continuously over and over? Now, it happened because it a comes lot down more at this. The start of the year. It happened more
just,
at the start of the year.
Let me just spare you guys the time because it goes something like this, Craig. Because when you start the game and in the first few 4 minutes, guys aren't going, then you got to start. You got to sit them sometimes, like right away. Like there are nights where you got to sit guys right away, and they might be young guys. But guess what? The next game, they will not start the game the same way. They will be ready to play. They'll do something different. They will change it up. Simple as that. It is coaching for me. It's coaching for me because you can start the game any way you want. There's no accountability. There's no one's penalized. There's no retribution.
Well, let me ask you this. You know this, that the coach can only do so much. The coach can only talk about these things until he's blue in the goddamn face. And then you realize, like, is it coaching or in that locker room, is there a lack of leadership? Is there a lack of a certain type of player where maybe some of the players on the team are dipping their toe in the first period to see how things go? Or there's just guys that are energy. They play the same way in the first shift to the last shift that they play. And they're going to play the same way. They're fast. They're physical. They're aggressive. They build energy for the team. Right? They're glue guys. They're like the glue guys that keep things together. Do they have lack of leadership? This is the youngest team in the National Hockey League.
Yes, there is a lack of leadership as well.
I'm not saying that Alex Tuck's not a good leader. I'm not saying that Rasmus Dahlin isn't a good leader or even Tage Thompson. But when you actually go through the lineup, there's not a lot of leadership. There's not a lot of older guys that can just basically say, boys, wake the fuck up here. This is unacceptable.
That brings me back to Nazem Kadri. Time now for Crash Course presented by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino. Call 888-888-8888.
The one guy who's been an absolute, and we discussed this a month back when Kyle got traded, of who's the next captain. Watching the game since, and even last night, the bits I watched, Dahlin is your captain. That guy's an absolute stud. If there's one guy that plays with fire, most consistently with fire and passion, it's him.
Yep. Let me ask you a question. And this is something that I literally thought about the other day on this topic right here, because we've discussed at length who's going to be the next captain. It seems like the growing two guys are glaringly either Alex Tuck or it's going to be Rasmus Dahlin. And then I think to myself, when I watch the games, you've watched all the games this year, Petey. I watched games last year and I watched the games the year before. Why is Tage Thompson not thrown in to the leadership group? When you sit there and listen to that man speak after a game, he is mature. He is clearly the best player or best forward on the team. When mm-hmm. this team wins, largely is going to come on the back of Tage Thompson and how he plays. That's how good he is. The way he speaks seems to be very dominant and very controlled. I'm wondering, why are we never talking about Tage Thompson?
Just let him play hockey.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he's not in your core and your leadership group. You know that when you played Riffs, just because you had to see, you still had guys around you that had a voice and you needed them to be a voice, and he's one of those guys. But when I watch the games, he plays with a ton of skill. He makes plays. He's dominant when he wants to be. But to me, like watching Dahlin, it's just, there's just a bit more fire in there. Like he'll go and crush somebody. Like just from the outside, like I said, I don't know any of these guys. I don't know their personalities or whatever, but he's a the Dahlin. He can change games multiple ways, right? By absolutely crushing someone, by going end to end, scoring,
yep.
by faking four guys out and making a backdoor pass. Like, there's so many different ways the guy can impact the game. And he does it most consistently, I feel like, at least the parts that I've watched.
Yeah. I just listen, I we've talked so much about, you know, the team, leadership, who's going to be the next captain. And when you actually go through the team, there's not a lot of leadership. You know, you're not looking for leadership from Benson and Quinn and Paterka, and Dylan Cousins is a young guy and he's shown signs of leadership, but he's still very young. Alex Tuck, Tage Thompson seem to be guys that are taking control of this team. Peyton Krebs, not sure you're going to put a letter on his jersey. Owen Power. Like, I mean, there seems to be a lot of guys that are good hockey players, but not necessarily leaders, right? And it just seems like the team is so young. They seem to be green where they're missing something. They're missing those, I hate to say it, it's almost like we're missing those early 30-year-old guys that are still playing at the highest level of their game.
Are they missing what we talked about at the start of the pod with the Dallas Stars? The Ryan Suter,
exactly
the
Pavelskis,
the Ben, the Seguin?
Yes, yes, yeah. They are. Because their oldest player on the team is Jeff Skinner at age 31. And
he ain't a leader, at least.
We don't know. But I mean, through his play, I don't see any leadership qualities whatsoever. He's an opportunistic, highly skilled player. But the way he plays, it can literally drive coaches nuts. Your next guy, Petey, is Tuck at what? How old is he? 27?
Yeah.
It's a young, green, immature hockey team.
I don't think he cares if he's captain or not, to be honest with you. But definitely was negotiated in Dahlin's contract. All right, Vanner. So that brings us to the end of Crash Course, presented by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call 888-888-8888. It's funny. We're talking about captain. I was going through that hockey reference thing and I was going back through the seasons and it's like, and I was looking at our team captains and like the 1 year had like five guys. The next year had three guys. We had four or five guys my rookie year. And then the next year it was Drew and Danny. And then we had a rotating captain again. And then all of a sudden,
I hate that.
We made a trade for the big man. Number 52, I don't want to come to Buffalo. Seriously, though, Craig, did you say if I come there, I want to be the captain or I'm not coming? Because how the fuck did you win that vote? All right, that's it for today with After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close.